This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Draft Fest coverage here. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A couple of hours still to go of our coverage. And we're going to get you, Dennis Allen and or Mickey Loomis when it's all over as they kind of wrap up their end of the draft. We'll be wrapping it up on this end. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Deuce McAllister. I know, Mike, you wanted another LSU kid.
Another LSU lineman. Chason Hines was picked by the New England Patriots. That makes 3 offensive linemen for LSU on a bad offensive line. What does that tell you?
Well, who's coaching them? Huh? Maybe because they see the potential?
Does Ed Ingram, Austin Deculus, Chason Hines.
Did Ed Ingram go as he went high?
He went higher than I thought he would.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Deculus and Hines.
That's about right.
Sort of fits.
Right.
But Ed went, I'm glad for Ed. I'm glad for Ingram. But Austin and Chason now get selected. And again, it's a typical Patriots pick. They like those shorter cut, wide body offensive guards. And that's what Chason brings to the table, and he has seen some work at center. He did play center for a little while.
Yep, the more you could do. And now the reason why I was telling the Arnhead story, you know, it's the Saints connection, and the Steelers drafted his son. Now think about the offspring of Arnhead. You got Cameron Hayward. Mike, I don't know if he's been all pro, but he's been a pro bowler with the Steelers.
And then you had
Corey Hayward. He had one son who played against my youngest, Bo, in basketball. He got a scholarship, went to Georgia Tech, and he's at Peachtree Ridge, but they never beat Great Atlanta Christian.
But he was starter, you were telling me.
Yeah. He was a starter at Georgia Tech basketball. And then you got Connor Hayward, just got drafted by the Steelers. And I told you, like, when I was coaching Cameron, when they were in, like, fifth, sixth grade, and then Arnhead, Craig, was part of the chain gang. And then I had this little bitty guy who knows he can't block. Cameron, who's now plays the Steelers, he was 6'1", and starting sixth grade. And he's 6'1". So this one mom, like I said, her son's playing center, has to block Cameron. And Cameron was like a gentle giant then, because, you know, you always get in trouble at school that you had recess and the kids bounce off you and they hit their head and everybody's crying. And Cameron's the only one's not crying because he's huge. And so Arnhead is doing the chain gang, and all the other coaches, they're all afraid of Head. And he's yelling at Cameron, but he's cussing like a sailor. And, you know, they got all these kids and families and all, and they were all afraid of him. They go, "Hey, Bobby, you got to go talk to Arnhead." Because he's telling Cameron to knock the F out of this little kid at, like, center. And Cameron's like, and I go, "Head, you can't do that. So what are you doing?" So I don't know. He continues. The county cops come, and all of a sudden they said, "If Arnhead doesn't be quiet, we're taking him to jail." I said, "Head, they're taking you to jail. You got to stop." So I said, "Look, did I get to take you to jail? Just stop holding the chain. Go sit in the end zone in your car and watch the game, and you won't get in trouble. They're going to give you a pass."
And they did it?
Yeah, and that's what he did. He went sit in the end zone and watched the rest of the game.
Well, that's good, man. That's good. Good. Thanks. I'm just really happy we got the story in because we're going to have to take a news break. And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, we can't wait another break."
No, that's it. That's Arnold. It just shows you the Haywards are very talented.
So we are in the sixth round. The Rams making up for lost time. The Rams had picked 211, 212, and 218. We're in the compensatory picks of the sixth round. Lots more coming your way here from Rouse's Market on Airline in the Bar. We'll have the Saints recapping it as well. Don't forget, tomorrow morning from 10 to 12:30, Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller, and Christian Garrick will have the draft recap. And then second guest, Bobby Mike, live from the Mississippi at the Silver Slipper. That's Monday, 4 to 7. Step aside for news. We're back after a break. Draft Fest 2022, WWL AM Radio. Welcome back. Draft Fest 2022. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, and Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouse's Market on Airline LaBar. Download the Rouse's shopping app. Get free curbside pickup orders on $35 or more. Or just come by and say hello. People have been doing that this afternoon. Great afternoon. Beautiful afternoon. On this final day of April, tomorrow begins May 1st. And so the Saints technically are done. I'm assuming we will not hear from Mickey and or Dennis until the whole thing is over. So
correct.
They're still in there battling away. And I'm sure battling away on looking who gets picked, because guys that do and then those that don't become maybe a phone call first thing as they start really looking at an area where this team's done so well.
They're on the phone with them guys. Now, man, undrafted, we would have picked you in round seven, but we don't have a pick. You know, man, we think the world of you. If you don't get selected, man, we want to sign you and all this. And they tell that story to 15, 18 guys.
Well, tomorrow's May 1st.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it just came to my mind, we should never celebrate May 1st. That's what the communists do. Well, watch the parade they're going to have in North Korea.
I didn't say celebrate it. I said tomorrow is May 1st.
No, that's why we don't need to celebrate it, because
let him tell his story.
No. Just look at May Day. Mike. It's called May Day. The communists, they always go on parade and they want to show how big and bad. Watch.
And their weapons?
Yes, their weapons of mass destruction, whatever.
Can we still have a margarita on the 5th?
Yes. That's all right. That's a good American
margarita's
holiday.
On the 5th. That's
Bobby's watching the missiles, and then 4 days later, you'll be drinking the margarita.
No, I'm just a capitalist.
All right, let's move on. There's no way this ends good. No way this ends good. All right, so.
And this started how?
Because I said tomorrow was May 1st.
It started with Iron Hand, ended up to here.
No, with May Day. No, that's why that's their 4th of July. You know, any communist thing, that's their 4th of July is May 1st.
Kansas City and Jacksonville went into this draft both having like 12 picks. It was going to be, you know, just about quantity for some teams and quality for others. And the Saints certainly in that quality group with only 5 picks. Chris Olave, the Ohio State wide receiver. They traded up. Trevor Penning, Northern Iowa, offensive line. Alante Taylor, the quarterback out of Tennessee. DeMarco Jackson, linebacker out of Appalachian State. And Jordan Jackson, the defensive line out of Air Force Academy.
Okay, so here's the sell. If you're a running back, if you're an interior offensive guard, if you're a safety.
Tight end.
A tight end to say, hey, look, we didn't pick any of those guys. We got an opportunity for you to come on this team, and you got a shot to make it. Those other teams, it's a maybe.
Because I think Dennis Allen's going to take the same approach as Sean Payton, that once you get in the building. It doesn't matter, right, Deuce? I mean, where you were drafted, where you played, that doesn't matter what you're going to do now going forward. And just look at the track record we've had. With undrafted, we just mentioned Carl Granderson. Now we always talk about Pierre Thomas. So you can look at
Calvin Darkmire.
Yeah, we have a track record that, I mean, I'd put against any NFL team that if you're a free agent and you want an opportunity, now you have to look at the position. Like if I'm a tight end and I think I got overlooked, hell yeah, I'd want to go to the Saints.
Think about it. Shy Tuttle, Malcolm Roach.
Callaway.
Look at Callaway. Okay, Tre'Quan Smith.
Deontay.
Harris. Okay, look at those two guys. They did better than Tre'Quan. Now, Tre'Quan had that one big game against the Eagles, that one game. But we needed him to do that at least a handful of times. So, yeah, no, a free agent, hey. I believe that whether Sean Payton's here or Dennis Allen, the organization, that if you're a free agent and, like Deuce said, you come in the building, no, you got a chance.
They want to know you can contribute and play.
Right.
How about this?
Because they've had other coaches, Deuce, you know them, head coaches here that have sung that song about I'll give that rookie free agent an opportunity. But you know damn well he ain't making that team.
Nah, they wouldn't. They were, hey, he was a draft pick. I got to play my draft pick.
He's coaching on another league.
This is an interesting deal. We know the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship last year. They have had 15. 15 players.
That's why drafted. That one got that sign up. Man.
15 players.
Well, that's why they won the championship, huh?
But
five in the first round.
If you look at Georgia, it has never been about players. They've always signed four and five star recruits. Yep. They could never get it to come together
to develop them right.
They finally got it to come together and winning a championship. But Bobby, it's just like the players that you talked about over there coaching. I mean, there are a ton. I think what Anthony? Oh, what's the number one draft pick from Georgia basketball? Minnesota. They just got beat. Anthony Edwards. Edwards from UGA. 1 year, number one draft pick. This year, UGA, defensive lineman, number one draft pick.
Trayvon Walker.
I mean, both of those guys played at UGA. Both of those are from Georgia, number one draft picks.
Oh, no. Georgia is not like Tennessee or – like South Carolina don't have enough players. They all go to Georgia. Tennessee goes to Georgia, even Alabama. The proximity of Georgia and Florida, there's people and there's always going to be players. Like, for instance, the city of Atlanta got like 2 million more people than the whole state of Louisiana. Atlanta, Georgia has, I want to say, 6.5 million plus, and then Louisiana we have 4.5 million. So just that, and that's just the city of Atlanta. So you look at the whole Georgia, I'll tell you, that's why Georgia ain't going nowhere. If they recruit and they coach these players up, that's why I think like Florida State, like Georgia, and any Texas, that's why UT. Now, Jimbo Fisher, I think he got the edge over the Longhorns at 8 a.m. But, I mean, it's like that's why it's almost blasphemy. Now, it's not a priority like Texas or you look at Florida, like California. When you look at California and the number of people, for USC not to be relevant. Because back in the day, you'd always see
– all of them going to Oregon.
Yeah, and they leaving the state and not getting to the NFL.
And now that head coach is at Miami or Florida.
Yeah.
And watch how many of those guys don't leave South Florida now.
Correct.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, it's amazing what LSU, what Louisiana has done. When you look at per capita, what we said, like the most professional football players.
They finished either – one, two, three, or four.
Louisiana and Mississippi.
11 out of the last 12 years, Louisiana. Just think of that.
And then you break it down to the River Parish. Mike, that I guess you consider that New Orleans. I mean, it's unbelievable the players they have.
Just think about it, Deuce. You talked about Georgia, and that was another first-round pick. Jermaine Johnson. He was at Georgia.
Yeah.
And he goes to Florida State.
And he leaves and goes to Florida State.
Right.
Think of that. He was a backup guy at Georgia. He goes to Florida State. He's the ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
First round pick.
And what do you remember? The Jets, right? Yeah. I don't know. I never want to say the Jets are going to do anything. But the Jets, well, I think they've had an unbelievable draft.
Only thing I know is Zach Wilson, he better either squat or get off the pot.
Right. I agree.
Because the other pieces are coming into place for the Jets.
But you got to have the trigger man produce. Yeah.
Because, well, that game we saw him, man, you and I were like, what the world? I mean, wide open.
No, he had a couple of brain farts where he just, like, the guy's wide open in the flat, and he just, like, throws it in the stands. I'm like, what? He freaked out. Mike, look out. He's freaked out right now.
He freaked out that game.
Like, come on. It was nobody around them. And that you can't do that in the pros.
So let me just say this. I'm just going to interject something that was sent to me by Brian, our statistician who worked on the games.
And he knows stuff.
He does. He sends me stuff all the time. So he actually sent me this last night. But I had been thinking about it because I saw a couple of the players that have been drafted. So Tampa, with the first pick yesterday in the second round, picked defensive end Logan Hall. And so they picked Logan. Logan was born on April 22nd of 2000. 6 days before that, Tom Brady was drafted to play in the NFL of the sixth round. Tom Brady's now playing with guys who were born.
Well, he could be their
the year
daddy.
He was drafted.
Yeah, he could be
in 2000. Now, I'm just, as a man is up in age myself, I'm just like, oh my God, these guys we're covering were born in the year 2000.
Yeah, we got kids you covering in.
Oh my gosh. That was just, I was like, wow, 6 days before you were born, he got drafted.
So that hit you like that, Mike?
It did, a little bit.
I don't even want to think about it. I mean, it's true.
Well, you're the youngest. Well, Mike, you're the youngest at the table, baby. That's why you ain't said you're the youngest here.
No, it depends when you make a baby. If you like, I had my oldest daughter was born.
It depends on what, Bobby.
No, make when you baby. No, no. When I was a senior in college, that's why I got a 40-year-old daughter, and I'm gonna be 62 in August 19. I turn 62. She turns 40. 40. I still think I'm like 30, and I got a 40-year-old daughter. But I'm to look at LeBron James. What's the whole thing? I think in the back end of LeBron James' career, he wants to play with his son.
He might not win anything,
but he wants to, like, oh, me and my son. That'd be like Tom Brady. Now, he didn't have a baby his senior year at University of Michigan, but it would be like that. Let's say that, in theory, Tom Brady could be like some, like, as far as the age difference, you know, 20, 22 years old, could be like their a daddy. I'm playing with my son. Drive my son. I want to throw him like a bomb or something.
Throw him a touchdown.
Yeah. How crazy that would be. No, but Tom started later making babies.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like his boys, they're like junior high or something like that right now. So
here's another question.
He ain't played till he's 50.
Or junior low.
Mike, you started this, Mike.
I know.
You're the one.
I'm changing the speed. All right, here we go. So this year we already know that the Saints – are going to take on the very first quarterback taken in this draft. After them, Pittsburgh, the 20th pick, took Kenny Pickett. So we know we're going to see, we assume we're going to see Pickett. Here's my question. Will we see Desmond Ridder and Matt Corral? Will we face those guys in this coming season?
I think Ridder, you got a better shot.
Man, we ain't even going to see Pickett. Pickett ain't as good as Trubisky. Watch what's going to happen. Well, I'm telling you, Mitch Trubisky is going to probably be the quarterback. Now, he got a bum rap in Chicago and all. You could say
that was
I'm not
my setup to Desmond Ridder to Matt Corral.
Well, now, Tomlin has already come out and said that he probably will play week one.
Okay, we got to win the job. I mean, we'll see, but I'm going to say Trubisky.
Now, he did say he's got to win again.
Trubisky's not as bad as people think. I mean, that was a great opportunity when he backed up with the Bills last year. But now Kenny Pickett got to go do it in practice. But who's the other quarterback's house you talking about?
No, Marcus Mariota. No,
that's my deal. Can Mariota hold up?
Yeah.
Because, man, I've been around Marcus when he was with the Titans.
Well, he can't hold up if he's running all the time.
He's a thin build guy. Man, he's going to get rocked around. Desmond Ridder's going to play this year. I'm telling you. And start.
No, I agree. I just hope we don't rue it. We'll have to wait and see. Lots more coming your way. We're at Rouse's Market on Airline and LeBar. Come by and say hello. We're here till 6 o'clock tonight talking about the draft. Taking a break here on WBL Radio, AM FM, Odyssey app. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Draft Fest. Mike Haas. We're at Rouse's Market on Airline and LeBar. And about 2 minutes ago, about 4:25, the sixth round of the NFL draft complete. The Niners had the 220th pick and the 221st pick. The Niners also have the what is now known as Mr. Irrelevant, which is the final pick in the draft in round 7. So we are now into round 7, which it's been moving pretty quick. It hasn't been too difficult of late, but we are in the 7th round. We're on the air here at Rouse's. Right off LeBar and Airline. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Do not forget, when the draft is complete, we will get a complete draft recap from either Dennis Allen or Mickey Loomis, hopefully both. You never know what's going to happen after the end of this draft. So stick around throughout this. When it is over, we will bring that to you. And, of course, a draft recap tomorrow from 10:30 to 12:30 with Christian Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. And Bobby and Mike are going to be at the casino at the Silver Slipper on Monday night from 4 to 7.
And, you know, Mike, I was looking at this.
waiting on me to stop.
DeMarco Jackson. And, you know, since you don't have your draft guide, you know, I look at Athlons, Lindy's, I look at all that. And it didn't matter where you're from, where you went to school. I still say 1AA or a major college. But DeMarco Jackson, Appalachian State, they got him described in Lindy's as three words, small school stud.
He is.
Okay, and you look at it, a thumping run defender willing to play above his weight class. Now, to show you, because, Mike, they don't give these out. He secured a Senior Bowl invite with his relentless play in the run game. So think about, okay, who gets invited to the Senior Bowl and give
him
opportunity.
You what he needs to work on is in the pass coverage part of the game. And he's the only FBS player to total 200, over 200 tackles and 25 tackles for losses the last 2 years. Only one.
No, that tackling machine. And like I told Deuce earlier, that he had to like this, a dominant high school athlete. That so he's taking a pound. He rushed for more than 3,000 yards. I don't care what level you play in high school. People are still trying to tackle you, and you rush for 3,000 yards. And then he's bull riding. He's calf wrestling. So Mike, that's that one guy to me that it would seem like you got to motivate him to play football.
No, he's more than motivated.
He wants to be there
to do it. And Deuce, one of your guys just got picked, Chance Campbell.
Linebacker.
To the Tennessee Titans. He got selected. And also James Houston, who you know a lot about, went from Jackson State.
Yep,
he also was selected.
Transferred from Florida to Jackson State and was with Dion 1 year. And so, Dion, you had really, I guess, from HBCUs, I know at least two players taken. We talked about South Carolina State player
earlier. Cornerback.
The cornerback, and now the Lions take the defensive lineman slash outside linebacker, Houston, and so you go from a year not having anybody picked to at least two picks so far with a possibility of more, and then with Chance Campbell. Chance transferred from Maryland to Ole Miss, and he goes from a guy that potentially had a shot to getting drafted to making it happen as far as a draft pick, and you know, really, really smart player, really smart, does a nice job of dissecting formations as well as plays, and you know, he's for me a guy that probably a two down guy, probably not going to play a lot third down.
Yeah, you're gonna
run
out of downs.
Yeah, just because of how the game is played, but he can definitely help you on special teams, and you know, probably first and second down will be a guy that can fill in and help you.
I'm interested in Jatari Carter, young man from Southern, who went to the Senior Bowl. Jim got him to go there, and he's played tackle. He's played some guard. Man, you know, I watched him play at White Castle. Mm-hmm. He was a tight end.
Wow.
And he's put on this weight. Now he's close to 300 pounds if he's not over 300 pounds. And also Caleb Carter, the linebacker from Southern. Man, he was a running back. In high school, played running back, defensive end, safety, outside linebacker. Man, he's all over the field. I don't know if he'll get selected or not, but he'll be one of the guys as a priority free agent. So just keep that in mind, Caleb Carter from Southern and Jatari, who I think will get certainly selected here. He's a big man, offensive lineman. Did not give up a sack last year for the Jaguars. Did not give up one.
Well, and I didn't get to comment on this because I wasn't here. Alante Taylor. Okay, you look at the cornerback. You know what's intriguing to me, and this caught my attention? At the combine, he ran the same 40 as Marshon Lattimore. I mean, we all know who Lattimore is. We consider Lattimore a shutdown corner. Said he ran a 4.36 40-yard dash at the combine, matching Lattimore's mark from 2017, 39-inch vertical. And, Mike, I think you had mentioned this previous that, look, an all-state performer in high school is an option quarterback.
Yep.
So, you know he knows the game whenever you're playing quarterback. Hello, yes, you can't be dumb and be a quarterback. Well, I guess if you can run around, you can, but you still got to know what to do. Now, he originally attended Tennessee as a wide receiver, but you look at him. You know the one thing that caught my attention? I was thinking strength. Open field tackling is one of his more impressive traits. How about DeMarco Jackson? We got guys who can tackle. You know, not like I'm trying to tackle, can actually finish the deal and tackle. So when I looked at it, his best work comes in press coverage. So what about if you, Taylor, and you're a gunner? Well, that's press coverage on punt.
So you better know how to tackle. I got somebody asking me.
On punt coverage?
Bobby, what was his NIL deal?
I don't know. You know, I don't know that. Did he? They didn't have that then. They had it. I don't know. They might have.
Yeah, I mean, he got in on NIL.
Oh, I don't know. The only thing I have on my notes here, the pro comparison. Mike, you remember this? This is like over a dozen years. His pro comparison is Carlos Rogers. Rogers was the played top pick in 2005.
He's a long, lean corner.
And they said he's similar. They have very similarities. Carlos Rogers and Taylor. Both are good tacklers with solid press ability.
Played at Auburn, played at for Washington.
Well, yep. Dude, that if he turns out like that,
you
I think
gotta love it.
Yeah. And I can tell you from people that have coached him and talked and played with him, he is a talker. He brings it to the table as a talker.
CD Deuce is the talker. We all love CD Deuce. He's on our side. We love him.
Right, if you can back it up. You talk however you want. All right, got to step aside. Got to take a break. We are in the seventh and final round. We are at the Rouse's Market on Airline Lamar. Download the Rouse's shopping app and get more free curbside pickup orders on anything $35 or more. Draft Fest continues after a quick break. WWL Radio, AMFM.com.
You going to talk?
Hi.
Say welcome back.
Welcome back.
There we go.
There you go.
What's your name?
Jackson.
Hey, we drafted a couple of Jacksons today. It's a lucky name today.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Jackson.
All right, Jackson, thank you.
Action Jackson.
Walked by, picked up the headset. All right, go get him, buddy. Mike Koss, we're at Rouse's Market. That was Jackson and his dad who just walked into Rouse's Market to get some supplies for the evening. We're here at Airline in LaBar. Stop on by, say hello. We're here till 6 o'clock tonight covering Draft Fest 2022. We are in the seventh round. The 228th pick, the final pick in this draft is 242 right now, or 262, belonging to the San Francisco 49ers. That is a compensatory pick, and that will be what they call Mr. Irrelevant. Packers on the clock.
Jatari Carter, we're just talking about. From Southern University, from White Castle High School. Bob, you know where White Castle is.
Yeah, it's right out of Baton Rouge. White Castle.
And
that's old school.
He got selected by the Chicago Bears. So, man, congratulations to Jatari Carter.
It's you.
From White Castle High School. I saw him play. He was a really good athlete. Played basketball there and played a lot of tight end. And, man, he grew out of that. And he becomes a tackle for Southern Jaguars last year. Did not give up a sack. Got an invite. Jim Nagy did a great job signaling him out and finding that he could play. And he's played mostly tackle. We'll see if it continues or they do kick him inside in the National Football League. So congratulations to Jatari.
So we are in, as I said, the seventh round. The Saints, unless they somehow trade back into it, are done. Atlanta, unless they somehow trade back into it, they are done. Tampa still has pick and or picks in the seventh round, and Carolina still has a pick in the seventh round. So still watching the NFC South, and we'll, of course, recap that completely as they make their final picks, and we can kind of take a look overall at how many picks Atlanta ended up with and how many picks Tampa ended up with, because they both were very busy in rounds 2 and 3. Last night, and then both had a lot of picks going into today, but I don't think they ended up keeping as many as they started with.
Well, I'd be extremely disappointed because, at one time, the NFC South, you just look what Drew Brees and Sean Payton was like the AFC West. You look how stout the AFC West. But right now, the NFC South, not so fast. I'd be extremely disappointed if we don't like sweep Atlanta and Carolina. Now, Tampa Bay, I think that'd be a big win in the NFC South if you split with them, even though we've dominated Tom Brady and the Bucks. But don't y'all think, if the Saints are going to be a playoff team, and when you look at the schedule, that could be 4 wins right there to help you get to 10 wins. I mean, wouldn't you be disappointed? Now, because remember Matt Ryan, then all of a sudden they won that game. But Matt Ryan ain't there no more. The stability that he brought, he's now with the Colts. So, Mike, I look at it right now. Wouldn't y'all be disappointed if we don't sweep Carolina or Atlanta?
You got to sweep one.
Yeah, at least one.
You got to sweep one of them. I mean, you can't afford to split with both of them, kind of like you did last year. You got to sweep one, and you've got to. You can split with one of them, one for one, but you got to sweep one.
Yeah, no, the one thing, I don't know if that's going to continue, but it might. We've had Tampa Bay and Tom Brady's number.
You've had their number?
No, Mike, what were you talking about? The two worst teams that Tom Brady does not want to play are the Seahawks and the Saints.
Record. No, I'd want to play the Seahawks this year.
But overall, when you look at his career and how Tom Brady, not against the Seahawks and the Saints, Tom Brady has not been dominant.
Just guys, last night it got announced. We didn't get to talk about it, but the L.A. Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it breaks off the new era on Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, that you know what they would pick, Mahomes, Herbert.
On Amazon, Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football, September 15th. And that was the first game officially announced last night. And, man, you want them two gunslingers out there.
Well, Mike, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we're always interested in what Drew Brees is doing, what Sean Payton's doing. Coach Payton, I think this was just this past week, was reported in the New York Post that I think it was like middle week, Wednesday or Thursday, Payton was closing in on a deal to join Fox Sports as a studio analyst.
Yep.
Now Payton will appear on the network's Fox NFL Kickoff Morning Show. It would also contribute to its premier pregame show, Fox NFL Sunday. Now, you know, at the beginning, Payton was rumored to be a top candidate to replace Troy Aikman, who's now going to Monday Night Football as the lead game analyst. But Payton reportedly with discussion was only to work for a studio position and not take over as a game analyst. So, but I'd be interested to see the fine print if Sean Payton right there doesn't have, okay, it's not like I'm going to do this with Fox, but I can't coach nowhere else in 2023. Because I want Sean Payton to come back to coaching so the Saints can get compensation.
You know it will happen. That, you know it's going
to
happen.
You know it would be the great thing to cheer for? Because they have the team, the Chargers, to suck. I think Sean would be enticed to go coach in Los Angeles. Deuce, when you think Sean liked to coach Justin Herbert and the Chargers if they don't do anything again?
I would.
I mean, I think you don't.
I would not argue with that, particularly when you got a young budding star at quarterback for you.
God.
I mean, that's easy pickings for you. And so. And
he's in Los Angeles. His daughter's there and all.
Well, he's got a place out there now.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Hello.
So, I mean, by working and staying out there, that makes it a little bit easier for him. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens there.
Bob, you'll love this. This reminds me of something you would have said. But Florida running back Damian Pierce got drafted by the Houston Texans today. And they asked him about your feelings on being drafted by the Texans. And he says, all I know about Texas is they got pretty houses and pretty girls.
What's wrong with that answer? I mean, that he's honest.
Reminded me of something.
You would have said it. No, he's being honest.
You said Bobby would like it.
Yeah, he's being honest. And come on, wherever there's people, they got ugly people and they got good-looking people. Wherever you got the massive population like Houston, think how big Houston is. Houston, Atlanta, Dallas, come on. They got ugly people, but they got beautiful people, too, because there's so many people.
And nice houses.
Yes, yeah, and bang for your buck.
It's going to be hot for them, too.
And then you don't pay no state taxes in Texas. My brother's been there forever, for two decades.
Same thing in Florida.
Exactly.
He's got it made.
Yeah.
So, Deuce was talking about earlier that how impressive, and rightfully so, that the Georgia Bulldogs had 15 drafted. By the way, we're not done. Right? I mean, they could have some more, but it doesn't matter because they've already set the record. That's the most selected by a school since they've gone to the 7-round format, which has really been quite some time. In the, I think like 94, maybe beyond that.
Because we thought maybe LSU would have broke it
a couple of
years ago.
So 15 is now the new record set by Georgia. Ohio State had 14 in 2004, and LSU had 14 in 2020. So they both shared that. But that's just, I mean, Georgia, you know, bookended the first round with the first pick and the 32nd pick.
How many did Cincinnati have this year? The reason why I bring that up, because if Cincinnati had more than maybe we thought, that shows you it does make a difference if you make the playoffs, if you're in the Final Four.
They recruited really, really well at Cincinnati. So
yes,
that wasn't the question. I mean, the question was.
Because you think Ohio State, but look at Cincinnati.
Here was the question. Would they have enough overall depth? Would they have enough
if
high-end?
If the starters get hurt.
There you go. And not only hurt, but you got to take them out.
Yeah.
You got to give them a break at some point, and that was the question. I mean, and that's where your Alabamas, your Georgias, your LSU, they recruit at such a high-end level. Once I put my number three guy in there, he's probably just as good as my number one guy. He's just not as old as my number one guy.
Well, how many?
Let me ask you a question. Nine. It's the Cincinnati Bearcats make program history by having nine players drafted, and
nine.
Again, we're not done.
And you can see why they were in the postseason in
the Final Four.
Mike, I got one for you. Bobby, how many has the University of Texas had drafted?
You mean this year?
This year.
I haven't even heard of
that.
Have they even had one?
Let's do it after the break.
Well, Mike,
we'll give Bobby some time to answer that question.
No, and I'm not going to cheat and look at my phone
all right.
and all that.
You got to take a break. Draft Fest. We're at Rouse's.
I'm not going to cheat.
On Airline and LeBar. Will Bobby get the answer correct?
So
we'll have that after the break.
Texas
WWL
don't have the players.
And the Odyssey app.
Or they don't have the coach.
Welcome back. Rouse's Market, Airline and LeBar. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, and Deuce McAllister. We are wrapping up at least the 4 o'clock hour of Draft Fest. Got another hour to go. And don't forget, keep it right here, and you will hear not only the pontifications of this group's thoughts about the Saints draft class, but also we'll hear from Mickey Loomis and or Dennis Allen as they kind of recap what has been 1, 2, 5 players, and two of those came on Thursday evening pretty quick as the Saints traded up. But since then, it's been a lot of talking about maybe they could trade up or draft to get into some of these spots that they left off in the 3rd and 4th round and the 7th round, but didn't. And so happy with what they got, but they don't have a lot of holes to fill.
And, you know, Hoss, we went to the break, and obviously.
Oh, yeah, the question.
Yeah, the question. What Deuce said.
You got an answer.
No, you saw me. I didn't cheat, and I just guessed because I have not mentioned the Texas Longhorns, so I just guessed zero, Deuce. And Deuce said, you're right. That's a travesty. You want to talk about embarrassing, Joe from Mandeville, or you UT Longhorn fans?
Oh, here we go.
You don't even have a player? And how are you going to be national champs when you're not even in the top three in your state? You're not even state champs. I know that is embarrassing. All the money at University of Texas and you don't have a player? No, that's mind-boggling this day and age.
Facilities.
Name, image, and likeness going forward. Now, are we saying the same thing in 2025, 26?
You got a problem because they're in the SEC at that point.
Right. Yeah, then they'll be embarrassed.
Yeah. You're in the SEC at that point.
Can we withdraw that offer? Was that? I don't know what we were thinking about.
No. Well, I can tell you what they were thinking about.
Money.
TV money.
Each school getting about $75 million per year from a TV contract.
They heard that cash register ringing in the background.
And they can get more players.
And then you could see Oklahoma, even though they were dominating the Big 12, they said, really? Financially, it's better that we go in the SEC, even though we're in Norman, Oklahoma. Come on. Now, when you look at Oklahoma, Oklahoma is even worse than South Carolina. There's not enough players in Oklahoma.
But they recruit Texas.
It's 70-80% Texans that play for Oklahoma.
Yep.
Just think about this, guys. When was the last time the Longhorns had a first-round pick?
For me, I'd have to go all the way back to
he played with the Saints.
Ricky.
No. Malcolm Brown.
Oh, well, Malcolm.
Oh, but with the Patriots?
Malcolm. With the Patriots.
Malcolm. You know who I was going to go?
15.
I was going way back. I was going to Leonard Williams, offensive lineman. He was after Ricky.
Yeah. Right.
He was Arizona. Arizona, like top four.
Well, the only
so, man,
thing.
That's a long stretch. Well, 2015 till today?
And the only when Texas has been relevant. Deuce, you still playing. Vince Young was the quarterback at Texas. One of the greatest college games ever. I got to give Joe from Mandeville that. Texas and USC with Reggie Bush. Now that game was unbelievable. Vince Young was magic, but not in the NFL.
They do have a back.
He decided to come back for another year.
Yep.
He would have been selected.
Okay. He would have been drafted.
No question about it.
They do have a back that should be drafted next year, and he probably has an outside shot at the way the draft is going. He probably has an outside shot at first round, but at worst, I would probably put him second or third round.
I would think he's a second round pick.
Yeah. If he has a big year, then he's got a shot.
So, you look at name, image, and likeness and where you want to go, the best opportunity to win and supporting cast. Why would Archie send his grandson, Cooper? Why would you go to University of Texas in Austin?
Not Cooper.
What I'm saying
is why would Cooper?
No, Cooper's the dad.
Oh yeah.
Gotta be
Arch. No,
Cooper's gonna have influence about that. He might like Austin, Texas, but not if they don't have no supporting cast. That's why I talked to Archie about this. I said, all I know is University of Georgia looks attractive to me. Because I think, you know, what have you done for me lately? And you trying to win a championship? Dude, don't you want the best players around you?
Bobby, well, I am not touching that with a –
No, I know you.
Why
I know
Deuce
you can't. No, Deuce came because of Ole Miss. I understand that.
Okay,
I'm still not touching it.
The other thing about it is, too, Georgia's going up against, in my opinion, the greatest closer as a head coach.
Nick.
Right.
And think, Bryce Young – He's taken off after this year.
He's gone after this year.
He's gone after this year.
You have to look at what they got. They have Ty, I think it's Simpson. His dad is the coach at Middle Tennessee. Who is there now, I think, redshirt, who's a pretty good quarterback.
He's really good.
He's a pretty good quarterback. But that's at Bama. But at the end of the day, I think for Art, the players that you're going to bring in with you, that's what you have to look at as well.
But they
may not be there now.
Yeah. But he wouldn't bring in the kind of players to win a championship at University of Virginia. You know how they got family ties to University of Virginia?
We're not even talking about Virginia.
But Nobin Mike, they were in the top 3 or 4 teams because of the family ties at Virginia.
But it's also the head coach relationship with Coach Elliott, who was at Clemson, who is now the head coach there.
Because that's how Clemson got out of the race.
There you go.
Elliott wasn't there.
Well, I can tell you right now, if Arch goes to Virginia – They ain't winning no national. I think I'm going to make the postseason. When has Virginia ever been state champs over Virginia Tech? When you think of football
Austin
in Virginia. When you think of
they
Virginia.
They don't play very often.
Yeah, when you think of Virginia football.
You think of James Madison University. It's what you think of when you think of Virginia football.
1AA. I agree that James Madison is like.
Not anymore, brother. We in the Sun Belt Conference.
James Madison is like North Dakota State. That they are
that's a
relevant.
Compliment.
No, they are.
No,
they
that's
are.
A really big compliment.
They're always relevant.
We're Division One, pal. We're
not,
FCS.
It's not Dolly Madison. It's James Madison, and they are that good. No, they are. I agree with that. But the one thing, when you're going back to Michael Vick, Virginia has never been relevant like Virginia Tech.
All right. We're going to talk a lot more about the Virginia schools when we come back. I'm just teasing. All right. It's Draft Fest. We are at Rouse's Airline and LaBar. Come by, say hello. We're here for another hour. We've got a big recap coming up tomorrow morning, 10:30 to 12:30. Mike and Bobby will be at the Silver Slipper on Monday, 4 to 7. Check them out. We're back after a quick break here on WLAMandFM.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.